Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, here to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above.
If you'll notice on the program, the next thing in order this morning is a welcome and a call to worship. I don't know that a welcome is necessary after that beautiful music. What an invitation to the children of God to come to his house and worship him. Thank you so much. It was beautiful. I'd like to apologize for just a moment, if I may, and have you check your schedules for today, the program. And I must take the blame for this. You'll notice that there's a little change in the staff on the rostrum behind me. I was called early this morning, and Brother Lowell Rafferty was to have the invocation. He was unable to be here today to worship with us. And so Brother Dan Walker has graciously consented to offer the invocation for us today. But in my contact with the ones who printed this program up, I apparently made a mistake. And you'll notice the offertory was not listed on the program. And Brother Wilson Jones was to have the offertory, and somehow his name got down as the invocation. So Brother Dan Walker is handling the invocation, and immediately following that, the offertory will be taken, offertory, and that will be Wilson Jones. So as you see this unfold before you, you have been forewarned. On behalf of my brethren who sit behind me on this rostrum, I want to welcome you to the house of the Lord. And I'm sure as he looks down upon you this morning, there is a smile on God's face. As I arose early this morning, it was just about daylight, to a clear sky and some white clouds to the east, other than that clear, and as the sun came through, those thin clouds turned a glorious color. And the birds were in the heavens flying all about and landing in our trees, and the nice weather we're encountering right now. It was a beautiful sight. What a beautiful day to come and worship the Lord. What a beautiful sight it is to look out into your faces and see you here. Come to worship that God. And I'd like to take you as a call to worship to the 85th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. I leave these sayings with you to ponder in your hearts, with this commandment which I give unto you, that you shall call upon me while I'm near. Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Seek me diligently, and ye shall find me. Ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, it shall be given unto you. That is expedient for you. Therefore, sanctify yourselves, that your minds become single to God, and the days will come that you shall see him. For he will unveil his face unto you, and it shall be in his own time, in his own way, and according to his own will. We will continue now with hymn 279.
Bow. Our most kind, loving Heavenly Father, we come before you, Father, in the name of our Son, of your Son, even Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Master. And Father, we thank you for this beautiful sunny morning you provide this morning. We thank you, Father, for the warming weather. And truly, Father, the sun in the windows has brightened our spirits and our hearts, Father, as we think on the great gifts that you have provided for us, Father. Father, not only this sun that comes this morning, but that sun, Father, that you shared with us, that you sent down, Father, to pay for that bill that we couldn't cover. And Father, we would be mindful this morning of the words that our brother Mike has prepared for us. And we pray, Father, for him. We pray that you might open his mind and open his heart, that, Father, he might share freely, and he might share, Father, with the power of that Holy Spirit that is in this room even now. And, Father, we know that all that is great and all that is glorious is from you, and we thank you, Father, for the blessings of this life. We thank you, Father, for the families we have and for the love, Father, that we share with one another. And Father, we ask this, ask and thank you for these prayers in Christ's name. Amen.
This is the time that we talk about our stewardship and an accounting that we will have to give to our Lord. An accounting of our time, of our money, of how we treated others and what we did with our life. That accounting is very personal, and each individual has to make that themselves. So as we reflect on that accounting which we have, would you bow with me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for thy many blessings, and we ask that you would take that which is offered this day and use it for the building of thy kingdom and for the furthering of thy work here on earth. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Out of the book of Ether, chapter 2, beginning with verse 2. And behold, ye may be privileged that ye may show the plates unto those who shall assist to bring forth this work. And unto three shall they be shown by the power of God. Wherefore they shall know of a surety that these things are true. And in the mouth of three witnesses shall these things be established, and the testimony of three, and this work, in the which shall be shown forth the power of God, and also his word, of which the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost beareth record. And all this shall stand as a testimony against the world at that last day.
Jesus is calling, oh, hear him today, calling for you, calling for you. Will you not quickly the summons obey? Jesus is calling for you, calling for you, calling for you. Hear him today, do not turn him away. Jesus is calling for you. Jesus is calling, your service he needs. Calling for you, calling for you. Tenderly, patiently with you he pleads. Jesus is calling for you. Calling for you, calling for you. Hear him today, do not turn him away. Jesus is calling for you. Jesus is calling, he stands at the door. Calling for you, calling for you. Open your heart and his mercy implore. Jesus is calling for you. Calling for you. Calling for you. Hear him today, do not turn him away. Jesus is calling for you.
I have truly enjoyed this week of preparation for this sermon. I have perhaps had more time, thanks to the Lord, than I've ever had before, the week before a sermon, to prepare. And I did a lot of reading and searching. I became so interested in what I was reading, I almost forgot to prepare a sermon. I always take my notes on the computer, and I was able to make some copies of some things I wanted to read this morning. And then I went to print my notes, and out came a blank sheet of paper. And so I tried several times and tried other things. And I thought, well, I'll just print it on the other printer. And so I sent it up to the other printer, and I got like 4 lines of my notes. So it might be a short sermon. But that's okay, isn't it? I want to speak to you directly from my heart. I know that God loves each and every one of us. He has given us so much to be grateful for. We have been so blessed. You know, we've been given so much in this restoration gospel, the fullness of the gospel. Do we believe it? Do we believe it so much that it patterns our life? Not just today, but every day. Do we believe it so much that our faith becomes action? And we not only hear the word, but we do according to the word. In James 1:22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And in James chapter 2, "Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Therefore wilt thou know, O vain man, the faith without works is dead, and cannot save you. You see then that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." And in the second chapter of Mosiah, beginning with verse 13, these are the words of King Benjamin. "Believe in God. Believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them." That final part is the hard part, isn't it? You might say in some cases it's easy to believe. But it doesn't stop there. What does that belief, what does it drive you to do? I was drawn to study a little bit about church history. and these young men that set out to seek the truth in these latter days. And I became much closer to these people, not knowing them personally, but through what has been recorded of them in our history books. I thought it was important to remind ourselves of their testimony of this gospel. You know, I have the privilege of helping in junior church, and it really is a miracle every time we have junior church just to see their faces and how sincere they are and how they just absorb and take in what they're being taught. And they believe it so readily, without question. And how important that is. And we're called to be like little children, to come unto God, doubting not. And then we get older. And we think we become wiser. But we are deceived. Doubt begins to creep in. How can all these things be? We begin to question our faith. You know, I've seen this too many times in my life. Young people get to a certain age and they find themselves in forbidden paths. They find themselves lost, and at times they don't even know it. Not clinging to that rod of iron, the Word of God, and left vulnerable to all the other voices that are in the world. You know, I wasn't immune to that. When I went off to college, I grew up in the church, had many wonderful experiences, testimonies. And yet for circumstances, for one reason or another, I let doubt creep in. And then I was reminded the promise that was given in Moroni. And this promise is given to every one of us, not in just this room, but in the world. And when you shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if you shall ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, He will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost, and by the power of the Holy Ghost you may know the truth of all things. In some ways, I think if you grow up in the church, if you choose, you may be at a disadvantage because you don't fully appreciate what you grew up with. Those that have been converted know what it's like without the fullness and how beautiful that is to obtain it, this great treasure that we have been given. You know, I see in some circles a trend in our nation that this is not an exceptional land, that this is not an exceptional country that we live in. And yet we know it is. It's the promised land that was prophesied. And yet the adversary wants to cut us down and say, you're really not like any other, you're just like any other country. There's nothing special about you. He tells us that personally. There's nothing special about you. He tells us as a church, don't believe in these myths. But we know better, don't we? God tells us He loves us. His whole purpose is that we come unto Him, repent of our sins, and forsake that which we have done, and to seek earnestly the truth and the best gifts. We have been given a great treasure. My previous sermon, the topic was just that. What do you seek? What is it that you seek? Do you seek the things of this world, which we know will not last? Or do you seek treasures in heaven? Joseph was told, Joseph Smith, and they discovered in the translation of the Book of Mormon that there were to be three witnesses. That would see and feel and handle the plates from which this Book of Mormon was translated. And in that discovery, these three individuals with Joseph Smith went to the woods to pray, to seek earnestly. And they prayed one by one, beginning with Joseph, and then the three others. And nothing happened. Did they stop there? No. They prayed again, beginning with Joseph, and then the three others, one at a time. And yet again, silence. And then Martin Harris. I'll tell you a little more about Martin. But he felt compelled that this vision was being withheld because of him. He felt compelled to leave. And he went a considerable distance off. And he prayed on his own. And the other three again prayed, beginning with Joseph, and then the other two, this Oliver Cowdery and this David Whitmer. And this is what is recorded. We had not been many minutes engaged in prayer when presently we beheld a light above us in the air, of exceeding brightness. And behold, an angel stood before us, and in his hands he held the plates which we had been praying for these to have a view of. He turned over the leaves one by one so that we could see them and discover the engravings thereon distinctly. He addressed himself to David Whitmer and said, David, blessed is the Lord, and he that keeps his commandments. When immediately afterwards we heard a voice from out of the bright light above us, saying, these plates have been revealed by the power of God, and they have been translated by the power of God. the translation of them which you have seen is correct. And I command you to bear record of what you see and hear. And then Joseph went over to Martin and began to pray with him. And that Martin Harris that so earnestly sought to see these plates, the same vision was revealed to he and Joseph. What a testimony. You know, these three witnesses, for one reason or another, throughout the course of their life, they became inactive in the church. And yet they never did deny their testimony of witnessing that angel and viewing the plates. And not only the plates, but all the holy things that Joseph received, the sword of Laban, the interpreters. Such a beautiful experience. You know, I found it so interesting while I was reading this week. I'm kind of a visual person. When I read about a city, you know, it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. But when I can, Google Earth is pretty amazing. And when I can type in Fayette, New York, and it zooms right in there. And I can compare and see where these men traveled from Palmyra, Manchester, Harmony, Pennsylvania, all these important places that took place in the early church, and all the wonderful things that happened. The priesthood being restored to Joseph and Oliver Cowdery. Directly from John the Baptist. These are not fables. They are true and accurate events. And these men testified of these things throughout their whole life and never did deny. And you can better believe that there were a lot of opposition. There was a lot of opposition and opportunity for them to deny, but they didn't. How strong is our faith? Would we be able to endure? Will we be able to endure? For we will certainly be tested of our faith from one time and another. This Martin Harris was he was a successful farmer, lived just out of town in Palmyra, became acquainted with the Smith family. He actually, I believe, was one of the first settlers into that area. And, you know, Martin was a very zealous person. Like I said, I didn't know him personally, but based on what I have read, he seemed to be a man of action. Kind of compared him to Paul in the New Testament. Oftentimes I think he did before he thought. But his intentions were good. And he did seek after truth. You know, his family wasn't so seeking. And he struggled to convince them of the truth. His wife, his relatives. And you know, through his acceptance of this truth, he lost his companion, his family, his farm, and yet he didn't ever deny. These men did not seek after riches. They did not seek after fame or recognition. They sought for truth. What is it that we seek for? I'm thankful we have a merciful God. It was the same Martin Harris that had privilege to be a scribe for Joseph as he started out in the translation of this book. And as we all know, he transcribed the first 116 pages. And he was very anxious to convince his family that this is true. And of course, we know what happened. He took that manuscript and it became lost. And because of that, for several months, Joseph lost the ability to translate. And he and Martin were both very humbled. You know, in the, it says, I believe in the second section, that they were chastised for treating these things lightly. It even went as far to call Martin Harris a wicked man. But don't we all sin? I know I for certain do. And we need that constant daily repentance. And I am thankful for a forgiving Father. Behold, I say unto him, this is to Martin Harris, he exalts himself and does not humble himself sufficiently before me. But if he will bow down before me and humble himself in mighty prayer and faith in the sincerity of his heart, then will I grant unto him a view of the things which he desires to see. And then he shall say unto the people in this generation, behold, I have seen the things which the Lord has shown unto Joseph Smith, Jr. And I know of a surety that they are true, for I have seen them, for they have been shown unto me by the power of God and not of man. And I, the Lord, commanded him, my servant. You see how forgiving the Lord is. He still calls him his servant. That he shall say no more unto them concerning these things, except he shall say this, I have seen them, and they have been shown unto me by the power of God. And this was his life testimony. He would not deny it. It did not matter what came his way. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short. And yet the Lord reaches out to us. And he calls us by name. And he knows us very personally. And he calls you unto him. to hear His voice and to be patient. For you will encounter tribulation. But He will be merciful to those who earnestly seek Him and believe that He is. And He will come to His house to accept His people. Follow Him. And He will direct your path. We have a very merciful God that we worship. I call upon you to seek Him. These three men, you know, they weren't very old. Oliver, the time they had this experience, he was 22. He was a school teacher. Joseph was 23. David Whitmer, 24. Martin Harris, he was the old one of the bunch. He was 46. These young men wanted to know the truth and to be a part of this restoration gospel. This is the testimony of Oliver Cowdery. And this was given in 1848 in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Friends and brethren, my name is Cowdery, Oliver Cowdery. In the early history of this church, I stood identified with her and one in her councils. True it is that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Not because I was better than the rest of mankind was I called, but to fulfill the purposes of God. He called me to a high and holy calling. I wrote with my own pen the entire Book of Mormon, save a few pages, as it fell from the lips of the prophet Joseph Smith, as he translated it by the gift and power of God, by the means of the Urim and Thummim, or as it is called by the book, the Holy Interpreters. I beheld with my eyes and handled with my hands the gold plates from which it was translated. I also saw with my eyes and handled with my hands the Holy Interpreters. This book is true. That was the testimony of Oliver Cowdery. You know, Oliver Cowdery was a brother-in-law to David Whitmer. He married David's younger sister. And as many of you know, they lived for years up in Richmond, Missouri. It's about a 40-minute drive from here. And David Whitmer, I believe he lived around that area for about 50 years and was very well respected in the community. And this was written in regards to David Whitmer in the year 1881 and signed by many individuals in this community. We, the undersigned citizens of Richmond, Ray County, Missouri, where David Whitmer has resided since the year 1838, certify that we have been long and intimately acquainted with him and know him to be a man of the highest integrity and of undoubted truth and veracity. And it was signed by at least a dozen individuals, a general, a judge, bankers, doctors, lawyers, merchants. These were people of the community, and they highly respected him and his trustworthiness. I'm not sure, honestly, why I was directed to share with you the testimony of these three witnesses. But I think it's important for us to remember our heritage, the important history of not our church, but the Church of Christ, as it was restored to the earth for the final time. This work is not finished. It is not finished. And I hope and pray that you would hold fast to your testimony of its truthfulness. And if you have not had a personal testimony, to earnestly seek one, that when the darts come, they will have no effect on you. I am sorry that you didn't get the short sermon like you were hoping for. But I want to read a revelation given to David Whitmer in the same month and year in which these three witnesses had this experience. And this is a revelation given to each of us. And we heard it at the beginning of the service, portions of the same. A great and marvelous work is about to come forth unto the children of men. Behold, I am God, and give heed to my word, which is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of both joints and marrow. Therefore give heed unto my word. Behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest. Therefore, whoso desireth to reap, let him thrust in his sickle with his might, and reap while the day lasts, that he may treasure up for his soul everlasting salvation in the kingdom of God. Yea, whosoever will thrust in his sickle and reap, the same is called of God. Therefore, if you will ask me, you shall receive. If you will knock, it shall be opened unto you. Seek to bring forth and establish my Zion. Keep my commandments in all things. And if you keep my commandments and endure to the end, you shall have eternal life. Which gift is the greatest of all the gifts of God? And it shall come to pass that if you shall ask the Father in my name, in faith believing, you shall receive the Holy Ghost, which giveth utterance, that you may stand as a witness of the things of which you shall both hear and see, and also that you may declare repentance unto this generation. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who created the heavens and the earth, a light which cannot be hid in darkness. Wherefore I must bring forth the fullness of my gospel from the Gentiles unto the house of Israel. We are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world that cannot be hid. We should not hide the light that we have and openly share it to those that the Lord brings to us with great joy, knowing that it is a great gift. This is my prayer, and I hope the Lord will continue to show His mercy to us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And Father, as we stand at the close of this service, we're grateful indeed for the good spirit that has attended us. And we're grateful also, Father, for these eternal truths that our brother Mike has brought once again to our attention. And we pray that we might have the strength that we can take these into our life, that they might be a guiding light to us. And Father, as we leave here and go into the fellowship hall, we pray also that you would bless that gathering. We're thankful for the many that make this possible. And we ask, Father, that you would bless the fellowship and bless the food, that it might strengthen our bodies for further service to thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.